Thank you that you make us ready for heaven. Help us to be ready for your return. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. We're in Luke chapter 12. Some preachers compare the Christian life to sitting in a chair. We're not to work for our salvation, they tell us. It's not all about making religious efforts so that God will save us in return. Faith is about trust. So the illustration goes. Faith is like resting in a chair. You trust the chair to hold your weight, so you relax into it, and you find that it does indeed do what it promised to do. Well, I hope that this morning you're not relaxing too much in your chair, because Jesus might just knock you off it. There is something to be said for the illustration. When you sit in a chair, you do trust it, that it won't collapse and you end up sprawled on the floor. We are not saved by our good works and by our efforts. The Bible is clear about that. Nobody gets to heaven, as it were, through any merits of our own. It is about trust. But there's something slightly misleading about the illustration. It can give us the impression that being a Christian is all about relaxing, letting go, and letting God. Whereas Jesus, we find, as we get to know him, is a little bit more uncomfortable than we think. Actually, our Christian life should be lived more on our tiptoes than on our bottoms, as we wait with eager expectation and enthusiastic, energetic enthusiasm for Jesus to return. So this morning I am asking one question. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet your Maker? So, are you sitting comfortably? It's quite an important question. As you know, we've been studying Luke chapter 12. And in this, we know that all of a sudden, at an unexpected time, the Lord may come to you and say, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. At any moment, any one of us may be called to give an account for our life, for our belief in God. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Jesus says this in verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Literally, it's let your loins be girded. In the Middle East and today, as in ancient times, the gowns flow, don't they? They flow right down to the ankles. And to be ready for work, or to run, or to go into battle, the gowns are to be hitched up and tucked under the belt. And that way the legs are exposed and you're unhindered. You're ready for action. You're ready for service. Jesus says, be dressed, ready for service. Hitch up your loins. And that's supposed to be the attitude of our lives, says Jesus. Be dressed, ready for service. That we're ready for the work of the Lord that he has for us to do. There should never come a time when we retire from working for the Lord. You may retire from work, you may retire from a career, but you never retire from serving the Lord. He says, be dressed, ready for action. Don't take a holiday from serving God. Keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding feast. Now, a wedding feast was not like our weddings. I've been invited to one in August, and it says taxis after the reception should be ordered for 10:15 p.m. So I'll be home by 10:30 that night, tucked up in bed by 11, and I'll be fresh for church in the morning. It's not that kind of wedding. Literally, it says the wedding festivities. It's in the plural, because these festivities would have gone on maybe for days. The master of the house would have come to his servants before heading off, gathered them round for a staff meeting and said, look, I'm going to so-and-so's wedding. I'll be back when I'm back. You take care of this. You take care of this. And when I show up, well, that's when I'll be here. Because I don't know when the party will be over. It's an indefinite amount of time that he's going to be gone. But he makes sure that they know that they're supposed to take care of all their responsibilities whilst he's away, like men waiting for their master's return from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes home. Jesus will return. We've been singing about how he came to earth. He suffered and he died on the cross. He did the work of the Father in reconciling us to God. He died, he was buried, he ascended, and he will return. He's gone away a short time, and he will come back when he comes back. And we're to be watchfully waiting. How will it be for those who are watching and ready? Verses 37 and 38. It will be good for them. Twice he says that, verse 37 and 38. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, whatever time of night he comes at. Blessed are the servants who the master finds awake, watching. It's the attitude of their life to keep watch on the Lord, to keep focused on the Lord, to understand that this life that we live is a short time, and we fix our eyes on heaven, and if we do that, then we fix our eyes on what God wants for us. He says, blessed is that person who is found keeping awake, keeping watchful of the Lord. Verse 38, blessed are those servants whose master finds them ready, even at the second or third watch of the night. In those days, in the Roman Empire, the Romans developed a system of watches, not like this one, but keeping watch over the city for a certain number of hours for intruders right through the night. Four watches, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., 9 p.m. to midnight, midnight to 3, and 3 to 6 in the morning. And those middle two watches, which are the ones that Jesus talks about. It'll be good for those who keep watch, even to the second and third watch. That time from 9 p.m. to 3 in the morning. Isn't that the hardest time to stay awake? When sleep starts to set in, you find yourself sitting on your couch, or lying on your bed, starting to slumber from your day's work, and you're dozing. Jesus says, you need to be watchful, even when it's difficult. Even when it's the hardest time to stay awake, the Lord is going to come when it's hardest. When darkness is all around you, the deeper the night. He says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. How will it be for those who are watching and ready? It will be good for them. How good will it be? Verse 37, it will be surprisingly good. I tell you the truth, he says, halfway through. You can trust me on this. I tell you the truth. He, the master, will dress himself to serve. He will have them, the servants, recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. What if you caught that the first time you read that through? He's saying that for those people who will serve the Lord right until his return, watchfully obedient in anticipation of his arrival, so that when he knocks on the door, when he comes back to earth, when the master returns, he will say, well done, good and faithful servants. You've shown me honor. You've waited on me. You've been faithful. Now sit down at the table. And the master will hitch up his robe. He'll gird himself for action, tuck his robe into his belt, and serve dinner to the faithful servants. How do you explain that? Jesus Christ serving us at the dinner table. I don't know what to say, honestly. That the Lord will serve his servants. When Jesus came, he said, I've come not to be served, but to serve. And that's who he is in heaven too. Jesus, your creator, your saviour, the one who shed his blood for you, he will serve you dinner. His joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete in him. Amen. What a blessing. I want to be found there. I want to be sitting at the Lord's table forevermore, blessed by him. It's a far different outcome than the man who placed his hope and his trust in his wealth, isn't it? Let me build barns, bigger barns, sit back and say to myself, you've got plenty of things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Boom, this very night your life will be required of you. And what will become of the things that you've amassed? Rather than say, fool, he will say to the faithful servant, sit. Sit at my table. I'm going to serve you supper. His joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete. But you must be ready. So that his return isn't like a thief coming in the night. For the Son of Man is coming, verse 40. And some people are unprepared. Peter asks a question. Is this parable for us? Are you speaking of your disciples? Or are you speaking to everyone else? It's a classic application question. How do we apply this parable to us, Jesus? Are you saying that there's danger that we might not be ready? Is it for us who are closest to you? Or is this for everybody out there? Well, in classic Jesus form, he doesn't directly answer his question, but he does answer his question. Verse 42, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them food at the proper time? Who will be the faithful servant, the faithful manager? The opportunity for obedience is open to everyone. Who will it be? Will it be you? Will it be you? The opportunity for obedience is open to everyone. The opportunity for blessing is only available to the obedient. How am I to be prepared? Jesus says, be faithful. Who is going to be the faithful and wise manager who serves in my household? Who is going to serve? Who is going to step in and do what is right? Who's going to follow the Lord with all of their heart and soul and mind for all of their days? Who is going to be the faithful manager? Who is it? Is it anybody in here? Will you be the faithful manager in the Lord's house? Will you be faithful to take care of what the Lord has given you through your life to do, whether it be small or large? God calls you to obedience. It's available to anyone, but only the obedient will be blessed. Verse 43, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. When the master went away, he went away for a temporary time. He said, I'll be done in a few days, I'll be back. And I'll be back when I'm back, but I'm coming back. I'll just be gone for a short while. So you take care of this, make sure the servants get their food. You take care of this, make sure the animals are fed. You take care of this, make sure the house is clean. Make sure that the property is safe. I'll be back soon. You see, these are all temporary jobs that he's given them. Temporary commands he's given them. But look what it says in verse 44. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of his possessions. This is a permanent position. Not a temporary call, but a permanent position in the master's home. Folks, our life here on this earth is temporary. You may live 80 or 90 years or more, the Lord willing. Before you know it, you're going to look up and you're going to be 30 or 50 or 70. And I notice as I get older, the time in between birthdays seems to get shorter. And I seem to go from Sunday to Sunday and month to month, and the years just kind of roll and roll. It's the 30th anniversary of the U2 Joshua Tree tour. And was I really there with my mum a week before doing my exams, my A-levels, 30 years ago? Time seems to get faster. In a very short while, you and I have on this earth, we do not have time to waste our lives. Because God has given us a temporary commission to go into the world and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them the things that he has commanded and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He has given us temporary commands. Obey me now on this earth, in this short while I'm gone. And at the wedding feast, I'm coming back. And when I get back, blessed is the one who's obeying me in this short temporary life. And when Jesus comes back and he finds you obedient, guess what? That temporary position in his household becomes a permanent position in his kingdom. It becomes forever. This short life is a test. It's a trial as to whether or not you'll be faithful to the Lord's command. And if you'll be faithful in these years you've got left, the Lord's promises that it will be good for you. And you'll have a home and a permanent position in his home and a permanent place at his table. What a blessing. Serve the Lord with all your heart for all your days. The tone of the passage changes here somewhat, because alongside the blessing is the warning. Verse over the page. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the servants and eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who is unfaithful, disobedient, serving himself, a self-ruling servant. The ones who are not ready to meet their maker are the ones who don't live with Jesus as their master. This is the person who lives for themselves. He will be in pieces, and he'll get put where the unfaithful and the unbelievers go. He gets put where the unfaithful go because he is unfaithful. And his unfaithfulness is shown by his lack of obedience. It's a warning. It's a warning to those who maybe feel secure but are actually living for themselves and not for God. Peter asks, is this for us? Jesus says, are you, Peter, my faithful servant? Will you continue to be about my business in my name for my glory until my return? It will be good for that servant who's found doing so. Not believing so, but doing so. If you believe in God, live for God. If you call on Jesus as Lord, then live like this and obey his commands. But on that day, Jesus says, there are going to be many people who say to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? What does he say? He says, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. You didn't obey me. You obeyed yourself. You didn't live for me. You lived for yourself. Like the servant who was unruly, self-ruling. You did what you wanted. You didn't obey me in that short time called your lifespan. Depart from me. I never knew you. Go to the place of the unbelieving. There are two more servants in Jesus' example, verse 47 and 48. The servant who knows the master's will in 47, and he knows it and he doesn't do it. And then in 48, there's the servant who doesn't know the master's will. And yet in every case, the master calls them to account when he comes. You're serving, you're not serving. You're waiting, you're not waiting. You're ready, you're not ready. Immediately when he shows up, he takes an account of their lives. That's the picture of when Jesus comes back. Even if you live this life independently of God, without care for God or without care for your soul, you will still give an account before him. You may live independently of God, but the master is still the master. It looks worrying, doesn't it? Well, the answer is, don't be worried, but be prepared. What Jesus has given for you to do now, go and do with your life. Being prepared is about being faithful in what Jesus has given you to do for him. Being prepared is living your life now in light of his return. That's what being faithful is. What this sermon can't do for you is to tell you what it means individually for you and for you and for you. What this sermon can do is what the passage challenges us to do, is to encourage you to go back and pray. Ask him to show you what serving him faithfully would mean for you. For some of us, he may say, don't stare so much at the world and want what the world wants and chase after what the world chases after. For some of us, he may say, be more generous with what you've got, more sacrificial with your gifts. We go back in prayer and ask, Lord, what is it that I must do for you faithfully now? He will answer that prayer. Having a vision of his return spurs us on to pray to our master. Jesus ends with a sentence in verse 48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We live in a blessed time. In each of your hands is a Bible in your own language. 500 years ago, that wasn't possible. You can pull up your phone, or you can switch on your computer, and you've got access to God's word, to great Bible teaching. You can go to great conferences and attend worship with thousands of other people and access all kinds of resources to live the Christian life. You have ample opportunity to understand God's will. You have ample finances to serve God's work. Jesus says, to whom much is given, much will be asked. God will hold us accountable for the blessings that we have been given. Have we used those talents and abilities and time and money and energy to serve him? Have we been faithful in his house to do his will? Or when he returns, will he find us sleeping and slumbering on the commands he's given us? Maybe your commitment this morning is to obey the things that you know. Lord, help me to obey the things that you've called me to do. Whatever it is, Lord, help me to do it with all my heart and mind. I want to be about this until you come back or call me home. Maybe it's to realize I'm unprepared to meet the Lord. Even this morning, you can prepare. Say, Lord, right now, while there's grace that is free, would you forgive me my sin? Would you make things right between me and you? Because you died for me, you offer me forgiveness, and I need that. I want to be faithful to obey you. Are you ready? I struggle most Sundays to be ready for church. Jesus says to be ready is to be prepared and to be faithful. That's what Jesus is looking for his disciples. Servants eager to do his will now. And if you are eager to do his will, you will. You will do it. Take it to him in prayer. And have it in mind that the Lord Jesus will come back. And when he comes back, it will be good. Far better than we could ever imagine. It's worth serving our King. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a faithful master. Thank you that you never call us to do anything that you have never been prepared to do yourself. We take your example of what it is to live in this world, to trust in the Father, and to live for the kingdom. Help us to be prepared. Help us to be faithful. And we pray that on your day of your coming, there will be much rejoicing. That not only we, but others whom we now know and love, will be with you and welcomed. Not temporarily, but for all eternity. Please strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to live for you today and each day until your return. We pray in your name. Amen.